Let's turn now, seeking God's blessing, to the portion of God's word that we have read. Gospel of Christ according to St. John, and chapter 7, and verse 37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." I'd like to have a look at that verse with four brief points in mind. First of all, a little bit about the feast that Christ was at here. And secondly, that he is wanting those that have with thirst to come to him. Find out what this thirst he is talking about. And then what he is wanting people with the thirst to do to come to him. And then the promise of the Spirit that is given at the end. The feast. There were various feasts that Jews attended. But there were three main ones, and it was instructed on all Jews to attend to these. The first one of them was the Feast of the Passover, and they all had a spiritual meaning. First one was the Feast of the Passover, and the second one was the Feast of Pentecost, and the third one was the feast that he was at here, the Feast of the Tabernacle. Now, the spiritual meaning in the Passover, you will well know that when God took the people of Israel out of Egypt, and because the king would not let them go, he sent plague after plague upon them until finally the 10th plague. And it had a connection, of course, with the Passover. And it was told them to keep that Passover in every generation. And the reason that it is connected to Christ is that they were instructed to kill a lamb and put the blood of the lamb on the lintel and on the side posts of the door. And God's promise was, when I will see the blood, I will pass over you. You see, the angel of death was going to go through Egypt on that night, killing the firstborn, not only of human beings, but the firstborn of animals as well. And they had to be under the protection of the blood. And there is still no hope for any of us except to be under the protection of the blood of the Lamb of God. So that particular Passover feast was fulfilled in Christ. And it was usually at the beginning of spring. And then the next one that they were ordered to attend was the Feast of Pentecost. And that was at the beginning of summer, into summer, when they would be offering up the first fruits of the harvest. Now, the spiritual meaning of that one was not yet, of course, fulfilled at that time until Christ had gone up and the Spirit was poured out on this world that we are on at the day of Pentecost. And I am a great believer that the outpouring of the Spirit on that day of Pentecost will not be, there will be no more outpouring, because the Spirit is still working in the midst of this earth. Maybe not in our land, but in many other places, in Africa and China and many other places, the Spirit is already at work. And then there was this Feast of Tabernacles. Some Bibles call it Booths, B-O-O-T-H-S. And it was a thanksgiving to God for the harvest, as we have up until now been having an autumn thanksgiving in our own midst. They were giving also a sacrifice to God, thanking God for the harvest. And it was when this feast was coming to an end, it was then that Christ uttered the words that we're going to have a look at. And there was more killed at this particular feast than at any other feast. There was 70 bullocks offered up. It lasted for 7 days. And on the first day, 13 was offered up. On the next day, 12 was offered up. On the next day, 11. And the next day, 10. Until you finally come to the seventh day. And when you add, if your arithmetic is reasonably good, if you add all these up, it comes to 70 bullocks were offered up. And at the Feast of the Tabernacles, they were to come out of their houses and to dwell in tents for these 7 days. And at the end of the seventh day, they would all come to the temple, and they would be divided into three parts. One part stayed in the temple, another part went out to gather leaves, and another part, led by the priest, went out to the Loch of Siloam with a golden vessel to take water out of the Loch of Siloam. And when they would come back, another priest would meet them at the door of the temple who had wine. And it was when this was being poured out through a funnel, the water and the wine, it was then that Christ cried out, "If anyone thirst, let him come into me." Now, Christ was not against this feast, because he was there. And he was not against it for this as well, because it spoke about himself, the one the scripture tells us that came through water and blood. Now, it was then that he cried out with a loud voice, and that takes me to the second thing I was going to say something about: thirst. You can have a natural thirst. And you've got no control over it. You can be mowing the lawn or shearing your sheep or in the fields, and this thirst comes. And I believe that is the way it is with this spiritual thirst. It comes. What is this spiritual thirst that comes? I know that people come in different ways, but I think there's a great connection between thirst coming into the lives of people here on the earth, whatever other way that they might come. What is this thirst? Well, you begin to think of your state before God. You begin to think of your sins. And you turn somehow to God with not a very long prayer that he would have mercy upon you. You, with this thirst, you are wanting mercy and you are wanting peace. When it begins, you don't want to end your life in this world without Christ. That is beginning. You never had that before, but it is no beginning in your life. A thirst that you want to be saved. A thirst that doesn't want your soul to end up in hell at the end when death comes. In Gaelic, we have the word cura. And it is really a thirst that you begin to be concerned about your end and your soul. That's what cura is. So that you would not go to a place where thirst will never be satisfied. What am I talking about? Well, Christ himself spoke a parable about Lazarus and the rich man. Not Lazarus, who was the brother of Mary and Martha, but a Lazarus that was laid at the gate of the rich man that didn't have anything. And he had sores all over his body, and dogs came to lick these sores. But both of them, the rich man and Lazarus, they died. And you will find Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. And you will find the rich man in hell. And he was wanting Abraham to come over to where he was, to dip his finger, that's why I'm thinking it'll be thirsty there, to dip his finger in water and come and put it on my tongue. But he was wanting more than that, because he knew that he could not possibly come out of the place that he was in. And he was wanting that somebody would go to his five brothers that were in the world, so that they would not come into the awful place that he was in. And with your thirst, you don't want to end there. And you pray to God, as the prison keeper prayed. It wasn't a long prayer when Peter was released from prison. What must I do to be saved? And the answer that was given, and it is in various parts of the Bible, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So that is the first part of this thirst that comes on human beings. And it is not of yourself. It comes from God. You see yourself as a sinner. You see yourself in the need of a savior. And you begin to move towards God. Sometimes the thirst begins and you don't even realize what is happening. You have a desire to come to the house of God. You have a desire for the means of grace. That is thirst. And as you progress, what it really is, effectual calling. Effectual calling. What is effectual calling? Well, God, when he is at work, that's the first thing that he does. He convinces you of your sin and misery. And then he renews your will. What happens is the things that were so precious to you before, they come sour. You don't want them anymore. And the things that were so sour to you, going to the house of God, praying and reading the Bible, these things become sweet in you. You get concerned for your soul. And by God's help again, he persuades and enables you to embrace Jesus Christ as he is freely offered in the gospel. Wanting mercy, wanting cleansing, wanting, in other words, wanting Christ. And if we are to be heirs of salvation, that is the way to come. To come to him, see your emptiness without him. Getting no satisfaction in the things of the world. Now, the third point, what does he want these people who are thirsty to do? Doesn't leave it there. He is wanting these people that are thirsty to come to me. Because nobody can satisfy the thirst that is beginning within you except Christ. And if you have this thirst, as I have described, and you are here, or you will hear this afterwards, this is what he is wanting you to do, to come to him. Christ is the remedy. Christ is the cure. Christ is your help. If you went tomorrow to the doctor in Carloy, was something wrong with you? And he examined you and said, I've got bad news for you. And then tell you what is wrong with you. And then he would say, but if you take these tablets, one in the morning and one in the evening, they would cure you. You would not think for one second to leave the surgery without these tablets. And this is the cure here, Christ. And you saw God putting this thirst on other people. And they came, probably in your house, in your own family, they came with the thirst that they had. And that's what he is wanting you to do. Because nobody else is able to satisfy the thirst that is within you except God. You will find Christ in the Gospel of Christ according to St. John, chapter maybe 4, coming to the well of Samaria, showing that anyone can come. This woman, she had a bad reputation. And she came at midday because none of the other people would come to the well at midday because it would be a time of siesta. These people would keep out of the sun from 11 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon. So she came knowing that there would be nobody there to accuse her. But who was there? Christ. And he started speaking to her step by step. She came with natural thirst. And the spiritual thirst was beginning to work in her life. In such a way that he told her everything about her. She had 7 husbands. And the one that you have just now is not your own. And she was converted there at the well. But that was not the end. And it is something that we should follow. this woman left the water pots and went into the village as a missionary, shouting, "Come and see the one that told me everything that I ever did. Is this not the Christ?" And I am saying that because she came. And I think last week we had somebody else that came, who was a prostitute. But she came and believed in this Christ. And come, it's such an easy word to understand. Even the children that went to the Sabbath school, they could understand what that word means, come. It means that you have to leave the place that you are in and to come somewhere else. He is wanting you to leave the place that you are in and to come to himself. Not to a minister, not to an elder, but come to Christ. But there's a warning here. Many people think about coming. Many people hope to come. Many people talk about coming. But they never come. I think it was probably Ryle that said that the road to hell is paved with stones of people who have had good intentions of coming, but they never came. They never came. And time is running past. Just think of what the prodigal son in the far country that we had a while ago. This thirst began on him. He thought about his father's house and the food that was there. He came to himself. That's what said. And nobody comes to himself unless God is at work. But he didn't stay there. He thought, didn't just think about coming. He made his way. He made his way to God, to the Father. And he had a prayer coming. "Father, I have sinned in the heaven and in thy sight, and I am not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." I didn't stay hungry and thirsty. He rose and came. You're coming to the fountain of living waters. But you are stretching your hand with an empty vessel. You've got nothing to come with except holding on to what Christ did on the cross on your behalf. And this hand with the empty vessel that is coming to Christ, it is the hand of faith. To stretch out the hand of faith to Christ. And he will fill it. He will satisfy all your needs. Because my God shall supply all your needs, not all your wants, but all your needs, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Well, if there's a danger where people are thinking about coming and wanting to come and then staying where they are, there's another thing that I find in the Word of God. And God is saying to these people that they were guilty of two evils. And the first one of them was this, that they had forsaken God And that is particularly true of these islands and of this nation at this time. They have forsaken God to a great degree. His laws and his house and himself. And if that was not bad enough, they were hewing out for themselves broken systems that can hold no water. And I was there, so I know what they are like. Wanting to find pleasure in the things of this world, and there was no pleasure in them. Broken systems. Well, if you are noticing that this thirst is beginning in your life, I do not find in the verse this word, wait. He does not say to wait, but he does say to come. And as I said, what we had, the last Rahab, the harlot, she came. It doesn't matter what your past has been like. Come to him. He will cleanse you. And then finally, the wonderful promise that is here. He that believeth in me, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living waters. Maybe you're thinking, oh, well, that's impossible. How many instances of God saying things to people that looked impossible but were fulfilled? He was saying to the people in Noah's day that a flood was coming. That looked impossible to the people. That didn't keep it from coming. They were making a fool out of Noah. 100 years building an ark there. But something wonderful happened. One day, God's hand came and closed the door of the ark. And then the rain came from the top and from the bottom. And the ark began to float. It was the water was up to their throat and they started swimming, and they would have been desperate to get into the ark, but they were too late. They did not listen. They thought that the promises of God were impossible, but they weren't. Out of your heart will flow fountains of living water. Well, so that we wouldn't go wrong in what he was talking about, Christ actually tells us what this water is, that it is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God inside everyone who believes. The Holy Spirit that gives grace, that gives peace, that gives mercy, that gives hope to a lost sinner. What happens when this works within you, these living waters? Well, there will be this anyway. You are now not so much afraid of death and of judgment and appearing before the judgment seat of Christ. And I think we had that in a few minutes before we came up. We do fear death. But what I fear most of all is, what am I going to be like? What am I going to be like in these last days judgments upon the earth. It is taking that fear. The Holy Spirit within is taking the fear of death and appearing before the judgment seat, and the fear that you are going to glory rather than ending up in the depth of hell. Oh, there will be clouds. Rest assured of that. And I think in the evening we're going to have a look at some of these things. The experiences of God's people, what they go through in this life. But they are looking beyond this earth that we are on. Our treasure is not in this world. Er Nineveh's treasure. Har Nineveh's er Nineveh. Not on earth. And that's what we look for. But through this Holy Spirit, whatever we will have, He puts grace within the inner man, in the Christian, to meet with what they have. Well, have you any knowledge of what I have been talking about? Thirsting after God. Were you ever concerned about your soul? It's all right to look at somebody, any cure of medicine. What is being concerned about the soul? Why should people point the finger? Because that particular person who is concerned about his soul, he is concerned about the most precious thing that he has, his soul. Well, my prayer is that you will come before it is too late. Before it is too late. The door will be closed. As sure as God closed the door of the ark. And Christ himself said, I will open a door, and it's open for you today. I will open a door, and no man will shut it. But that was not the end. He said then, I will shut the door, and no man will open it. And the door will be closed on mankind, on each and every individual at their death or at his second coming. At this time, there would be deep wells, and when night was coming, the people would put slabs over the well. And indeed, where I was staying on Dune Road, there was a well across the road from me there. And they would, people that would use it for water, as soon as that was done, they would put the slab over it. The door will be closed. And don't say that you do not know how to come. Or don't say that you're going to try to get yourself better before you come. Because it is God that will do that. Two things I'll say in closing. You've heard of the word chloroform, and the one that invented chloroform, his name was James Simpson. And he did very many other things as well as chloroform, discovered them. And when he was retiring, and there was quite a lot of people had gathered, and somebody asked him this question. What was the greatest discovery that you made You know what he said? He said it was a twofold discovery. I discovered that I was a sinner before God. And the second thing was that he said that Christ is a great Savior to receive people like me. And the other thing I was going to say in closing, it was something that is written on a gravestone in London, and quite a lot of these in the cities, quite a lot of these graveyards are sometimes near the road and near pavements as you're going past. And there was this graveyard near the pavement, and written on it was this: I'm in eternity, you're on the brink. And we do not know how near that will be. I'm in eternity, you're on the brink. But he didn't end there. He said this at the bottom of it: passerby, stop and think. Stop and think what you are doing to your soul. When the invitation from Christ is there to come to him, in whatever state you are in, and that he will give you rest. Amen, and may the Lord bless to us these two thoughts on his word. Our final singing is in Scottish Psalter again, in Psalm 42. And from the beginning, like as the heart for water brooks in thirst of pant and bray, so pants my longing soul, O God, that come to thee I may. My soul for God, the living God, does thirst, when shall I near? Into thy account, countenance approach, and in God's sight appear. My tears have been into me, my tears have into me been made, both in the night and day, while into me continually, where is thy God, they say. My soul is poured out in me, when this I think upon, because that with the multitude I heretofore had gone. We'll sing these verses in closing. Psalm 42, from the verse marked 1 down to 4.
Like as the heart for water brooks in thirst of pant and pray, so pants my longing soul, O God, that come to thee I may. My soul for God, the living God, doth thirst, when shall I near? Unto thy countenance approach, and in God's sight appear. My tears have unto me been made, both in the night and day, while unto me continually, where is thy God, they say. My soul is poured out in me, when this I think upon, because that with
pray. O gracious and eternal God, as we part one from another, we pray that thou would not part with us, that thou would bind us together with these cords of love that cannot be broken. Bind us together in Christ, and bless thy word to us here on this day, and the singing of thy praises to us, for Christ's sake. Amen.